Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the first Sunday in Lent. The church has begun another preparation time as we take the walk to the foot of the cross and to the foot of the empty tomb. And this Sunday, we are reminded of what Jesus endured at the start of his earthly ministry. After he was baptized, the devil attacked him for 40 days, tempting him in the wilderness. Jesus is able to withstand the assaults of the devil for a very particular reason. Not only because he is God, but because he is the Word of God incarnate. We are not the Word of God incarnate, but we should have the Word of God living in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. The devil attacks Jesus the same way he attacked Eve, the same way he attacks us. In our Old Testament lesson, shortly after Adam and Eve are created perfectly by God, the devil comes to tempt, to attack. He is subtle. He is cunning. Did Eve properly know the word of God? God had commanded them not to eat of the tree from the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil comes and he twists God's word as if he knows the command of God, as if he had heard it. And so he comes and he twists and he says, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Eve knows the word of God enough to say, no, that's not completely accurate. So she goes on, though, and she adds to it. She says, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." God had said nothing about touching the fruit. But she knew that she was not to eat of this fruit, because she knew that God's word proclaimed that if she were to eat it, she would die. So what happens? The devil says to her, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Eve is given a choice here. Will she stand alone on the word of God, or will she instead listen to the lies of the devil? You know how that story ends. She fails to stand alone on the word of God. And even worse, her husband who was with her failed to protect her from the wiles of the devil, failed to protect her from falling into sin, and because Adam took the fruit from his wife and also ate, we are all doomed in our own sin, inherited because of what Adam did that day. Now we are all tainted. We are all conceived and born with this sin. That is our natural starting point now, not the perfection that we had in the garden before the fall, but now we are all tainted because of that sin. She failed to stand on God's word. Instead, she listened to the lies of the devil. And now man must sweat. He must work hard to bring forth food. Women must now bear pain increasingly to give birth to future generations. We will all die because of it. What about Jesus? What about his temptation? Jesus had spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit drove him into that wilderness after his baptism that he might fast and meditate and pray. Jesus spends 40 whole days without eating anything. And the devil attacks. The devil does what he does best. He drives at us. And he doesn't stop. The tempter came to him and he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. The devil knew exactly where to attack. He knew that he had not eaten anything for 40 days. It's hard enough for us to go hours without eating anything. 40 days. Make these stones bread. Because if you are the Son of God, I know that you created all things. And as you created all things, surely you could turn these stones into bread and eat and live. Jesus answers, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He quotes the scriptures here from Deuteronomy. He tells the devil, here is what God's word has to say. Man shall not live by bread alone. Rather, man should focus first and foremost on the word of God. Everything that proceeds from God should be internalized. It should be a part of who he is, so that when the devil attacks, he can withstand the attacks. So the devil takes God's word from Psalm 91, from our introit, our gradual in our tract for today, and he twists it, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." The devil even knows God's word, and he twists it to try to drag Christians away from the true God. He set Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, "Throw yourself down. Surely the angels will come and save you, if you are the Son of God, that is." And here's where his scripture says he will do it. "It is written, just as you said to me." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, Jesus takes from the scriptures and quotes it back at the devil. "Devil, here is what God has said. Here is what he has declared. I will not put him to the test." And so the devil tries one more time. The devil takes him high up on an exceedingly high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of all the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." The devil has no power to do that. The devil has no authority to do that. And yet he tries to tempt. "I will give you the whole world if you will fall down and worship me." What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Jesus responds here. He says, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus stands on the word of God, that when the devil and the enticements of the world come to him, he is able to stand on that word and not falter. He does not fail as Adam failed, for as Adam was faithless in that moment, Jesus is faithful. He has conquered all the temptations of the devil on our behalf. He is true. He is powerful. And in the word of God is that power. What does this mean for us? You see, dear children of God, we are at a crossroads. Our culture is not just going through a shift, it has already shifted. The sooner we realize that our culture has left the word of God, the better off we're going to be. This culture war is done. It is already past us. The world has already bought into the lies of the devil. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to go along with it? Or are we going to stand on the word of God alone? We have a choice. That choice isn't necessarily easy, because the devil and the sinful world and our sinful flesh try to convince us that the way of the world is better. That we can have all of these things and live high on the hog. as though there isn't an eternity awaiting. Here is what Romans 1 says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. They turned away from the knowledge and truth of God. They knew him, and yet they rejected him. They turned away from him. And so God punishes them. St. Paul continues, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do they worship the earth? Do they worship the things that they have? For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's Romans chapter 1. But it could easily be a commentary on modern day America and the West. This is God's judgment. This is God's judgment on a world that has rejected his word. A world that knows what God says, this is right and this is wrong, and yet we say, who am I to judge? We say, how am I to know what is right and what is wrong? God's word clearly tells us what is right and what is wrong. Our culture has shifted away from the word of God, and God has given them up to a debased mind. Those who reject his word follow after the desires of the flesh. God has rejected them in turn. He has given them over to their passions, to their desires. Will the church follow, or will the church follow the word of God? Will the church hear the command of the devil to give up these things, to rather bow down and worship him? Will the church hear the devil's cry that it will simply make us like God? Or will the church obey the word of God and stand on it? Yes, we are at a passway here. We are at an intersection where we can choose. We can choose who we will serve. Will we choose to serve the devil and the world, which will lead to eternal damnation? Or will we choose to follow the word of God? Will we choose to be faithful to him? Will we choose to believe the one who is faithful against the attacks of the devil? Just before the verses that I read from Romans chapter 1, we read these two verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Be faithful to God's word, even though the world doesn't understand, even though the world has rejected it. Be faithful to it, and God will give you the crown of life. Be faithful to it, and when we fail day after day, return to the foot of the cross. Repent and believe. Be washed clean of your sins. Be fed by the word of God attached to bread and wine. Be fed by the word that gives life. The just shall live by faith, not in the way of the world, but in the word of God. The church sings. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.